going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
B. Mitch and Finley, High Noon in the District of Columbia. And we are fired up to get out to Green Bay, Wisconsin. Speak to our friend Diana Rossini, senior NFL insider for The Athletic. I've been reading what I'm hearing all week. Diana, what's up? How are you? Thanks for making time.
So as much as I would love to be in Wisconsin, I'm actually in this very cold state of New Jersey. It's probably warmer than it is in New Jersey. So, I'm actually not going out there because I find, and JP, you know me very well, you see me in environments with a lot of people, and I don't have the ability to just lock in and focus on one thing.
Sure.
So I'm not going to be able to do my job if I go out there because I just get too excited. So I'm just lock myself in the office tonight with my TVs, and I'm basically spending today collecting as much info as I can.
Well, dude, one, I think that's really smart. Two, I know you guys have your show tonight at 7:30 on YouTube, so that's why I thought you were out there, because it was like all of you together. But three, I totally agree. Working the draft actually kind of sucks.
You can Zoom that.
Yeah.
Exactly. I am Zooming that. It's exciting. So when I was at ESPN, I was always assigned whatever the top pick was with that team, usually the top, top five, I was with the Giants 1 year, I was with the Titans 1 year.
Weren't you with the Skins 1 year?
I was. Yeah. Oh my gosh, JP, I'm so glad you brought that up. So you know when like Facebook, oh gosh, I sound so old, but you know when Facebook does like the time hop thing, and it's like, this time 90 years ago, you were doing this. And it was a picture of me over at Redskins Park, and I pressed, it was 5:00 this morning, I swear this happened. I pressed play, I was like, oh, I wonder what I was talking about. Guys, I was on ESPN going, guys, today is draft day, and I can tell you, Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder are making the pick tonight. They are picking a quarterback. They want Dwayne Haskins. They are making the decision.
Wow.
Coaching, the coaching staff has nothing to do with this. This is all ownership. Like, but here, the takeaway for me on it wasn't just finding it and seeing it and being reminded of those times. It was, I was saying it so casually.
Right.
Like the world knew. It was like, that's not okay. Like, that's not okay for the owner to be like, you're picking this guy.
Well, in that format, it was okay because that's what they did all the time.
This is a bigger conversation to have another time, too, of just ownership in general. I had a conversation with a head coach the other day, and he definitely had too much time on his hands because we went through every team in football, and we said yes or no on whether or not we believed ownership helped make the decision tonight. Mm. And this is him who's been in the league for years. He said 13 to 14 owners.
Damn.
Isn't that a lot?
That's crazy.
That's a lot. Because like you hear about certain guys who are always involved, so you assume those. It makes you wonder who are the people that you don't hear a lot about that are still getting heavily involved.
So he was suggesting, and it makes a lot of sense. He's like, there's layers and levels of influence, right? He's like, you got the owners that they're they sit there, their body language, you can read them. You can just see from how they're reacting to things, what they want. They may not vocalize it. Then you got the others who will take in all the information and come up with what he thinks you should do, but then allows you to do it, but has suggested who he wants, which we all have bosses. If my boss tells me right now he wants me to go write a column at 1 o'clock, I'm going to probably go do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even if I don't want to. And then you have the others, obviously, who bang on the table and go, you're doing this, and they make the call, and they have all the power. So it is an interesting thing. Times have changed, which brings us to today, because that's not the case. Now, I do think Josh Harris is extremely informed and is a collector of information and is well aware of what's going on and what's happening, and there's really healthy communication. I just don't believe it is the furthest thing from what we know.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. Extremely well informed. He asks questions. He wants to be in, like, physically in the space of the process, but I don't think in any way is he trying to skew the process. And I think, it's his money. He cut the $6 billion check. Like, it's cool to want to be involved. I think it's really a pretty healthy way they are running things thus far. I do want to look. I know you've got a million rumors for us, and I am fascinated by what players, like current NFL players, are getting traded tonight. Talking with our friend Diana Rossini. You can give her a follow at DM Rossini, RussinI, here via the Rude Guest Hotline. So I follow you on Twitter. I've been reading all the stuff all week. Seems like you're expecting potentially a lot of movement tonight and over the weekend of current NFL players.
Yeah, so we'll just start with probably the overarching name that is going to affect things. And I can tell you there are teams working phones right now to find out what's going on with it, and that's Kirk Cousins, right? So we know he's in Atlanta. He's been demoted. He's sitting there. He showed up for OTAs, credit to him. So he's there. But you heard their general manager, Terry Fontenot, say, we're just going to do what's best for the team. And they've had conversations, that being Atlanta, they've had conversations with Minnesota, the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So when, you look at that, it says, okay, well, if the Browns think that they've got a shot to get in and trade with the Falcons for Kirk Cousins, then that probably takes them out of the quarterback game, at least early, which affects the way some things are going to fall. The Pittsburgh Steelers, from what I can tell right now, I don't have them taking a quarterback at 21. In fact, this morning, I know a few teams that tell me that they're trying to get out. They've been trying to get out this whole time. Since we're talking about Pittsburgh, I'll just throw in real quick, George Pickens is probably one of the bigger names you're seeing as being, I think, reported or even rumored to being shopped. My people there say no. They say that may be there may be some unhappy player activity going on here, but no teams have called the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point to say we want George Pickens. And I don't think they want to do it. So You trade for DK Metcalf, you bring him there. Why would you bring in DK Metcalf and then trade away your other receiver? Then you have another need again. Like they're in a good position on offense, despite the whole quarterback thing, right? And then you have the Aaron Rodgers kind of circling around that. So these are all the other teams that are affecting. These are all the outside stories in a way that may become the story. Which going back to the Kirk Cousins thing, just to remind you, he has a no trade clause. So from what I understand, if let's just say the Browns call and say, all right, we want to trade with the Falcons for Kirk Cousins. Kirk wants to talk to them. He wants to figure out what the situation's going to be. So I do think if a trade happens, it probably happens a little later this weekend. I don't think it's something we'll see tonight. Of course, I feel like this is the time of year you have to preface everything with, it could, but from what I can gather, it's going to probably be later this weekend. Which also tells you the type of compensation they're going to probably get in return, right? If they don't think they can get a second or a third, then they're not going to do the deal until later. If they don't need to, right? Because they're not going to be looking for those picks for this draft. So, look, I think these are good stories to just keep an eye on as we're watching this all kind of come together tonight. As I can tell you, teams want to know this. This is the most common question I've been getting. It has been Kirk, because it has these tentacles that are affecting the way these quarterbacks are going to go, and then obviously the way everything else falls.
Does anything happen with Aaron Rodgers?
They're waiting. I mean, you know the same amount I know from a, you know, Aaron's sharing exactly what's going on, which is he doesn't know what he wants to do. He's got some personal life situation things that he needs to address. The Steelers have been aware of that. They haven't talked to him.
That's
so
crazy.
They're just waiting for this. Then you have, you know, the idea. And when I say idea, this is what people in football think is also going on here, that Aaron may not want to be playing for the Steelers and is waiting for a better opportunity as we get later in the season, right? We got the Minnesota Vikings situation. It's been very, it's been made very known by them that J.J. McCarthy is the guy, right? This is their young quarterback. He's coming off an injury. They have so much confidence in him. They have completely hitched themselves to him as an organization. They want this to work. But you never know what happens with these things when you're coming off the injury he dealt with. So I think they're going to see how the spring goes, where he's at physically, mentally, and we'll see if they're going to close the door, which is why I think Minnesota is a long shot for Kirk Cousins, but I don't think it's closed. I think they're going to just try to see what happens with JJ. I will say, though, if we see Minnesota perhaps trading, let's just say in the third round for – I don't know, maybe like a Sam Howell and Aiden O'Connell are two quarterbacks that are available, then that tells me they've seen enough from JJ and they're all in. So to go back to your original question, Bri, like, you know, the Steelers don't know anything right now when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, what a pain in the ass that guy is. We are talking with our friend Diana Rossini from The Athletic here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Give her a follow at DM Rossini, two S's. All right, I got a question for you. What is more likely, that there's a surprise and Shedeur Sanders ends up going top 10, or that there's a surprise and Shedeur Sanders doesn't go in the first round?
The latter.
Really?
The closer we're getting to this thing, Shedeur has fallen. I'm having a hard time finding a team that has him number one on their board and even number two in some situations. Now that doesn't mean that that's fact. That's just as much info as I've been able to collect on these quarterback needy teams. I just, with knowing who's in on what, and I think the name that I've been hearing the most has been Pittsburgh as of the last 24 hours. I do think Pittsburgh has interest. I just don't think they have interest in him at 21.
Okay.
I think they would rather move out there. I'm not sure what they want to do if they sit, though, if they're unable to get out of there. I know the Saints are in at quarterback. I don't believe the Saints are going for quarterback at 9. In fact, I feel really firm that they're going best player available. And if you want to get real specific, I think it's going to be defense. They're redoing their front. I think they need a pass rusher. Cam Jordan's getting older. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But they need a quarterback. You guys are following this Derek Carr stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Quote.
What is quote, that? Is he hurt?
Okay. He has a shoulder injury. That is true. He has had shoulder injuries. He's had a rotator cuff problem. We know this. This has been like this is part of his medical history. There's just a peculiar feel to this one at this moment. The timing of all this. The Saints redid his contract, right? And it's very Derek Carr friendly. Like, it works for him. It actually hurts the Saints. I just don't believe Derek Carr wants to be there anymore. And Mickey Loomis, the general manager, spoke to reporters yesterday publicly, and he just avoided it. He didn't want to talk about it. So there's just tons of smoke coming out of New Orleans, and unless they think they can fix this, whereas I think most people around the league think that thing's headed to a divorce, which has me thinking now, if the Saints are going to move on from Derek Carr, granted the shoulder injuries out there, if it's real, you got to figure, I wonder if a team calls the Saints about Derek Carr at some point here. And maybe that's the name that we could see over the next few days. So, so in terms of quarterback needy teams, which, you know, the question about Shedeur, none of these teams to me have him ranked high enough for him to go in the top 10.
Wow. You know what I could say firsthand, and Diana, you lived through so much of this. It is so pleasant not to be worried about the Kirk Cousins, Shador Sanders, Derek Carr, who might, like, Adam Peters even kind of joked about it the other day. He's like, yeah, you know, the one position we're pretty set at is quarterback. We're not too worried about it. Just,
yeah, not at all.
What a change.
Last year has just been a breath of fresh air, and just even the way they operate, the way they communicate, the way they share with the media. JP, I even saw you guys at, I think it was either Indy or the owners meeting, and you guys were all together covering, you know, the Commanders as a unit, and everyone's getting along. I'm like, what world is this?
Like having lunch.
The relationship between team and media is so healthy, and it's not going to be perfect, and I think fans get that, right? Like, you have a job to do. You're the best at what you do with covering this team. And you ask hard questions because you have to. And it pisses people off. I go through it every day. People are always mad about something, especially with teams, because they don't want information out. But you have to ask them. But the fact that there seems to be a nice understanding that you have a job to do and they're trying to do something as well, it's probably one of my favorite stories to come out of last season, just how much growth is coming out of Washington in general. And winning certainly helps.
Sure. Absolutely. If Shador's not two on people's boards, is it Dart at quarterback?
Yeah.
Wow. You think Dart's a first rounder?
I could. So someone asked me earlier in New York on their fan, over under 2.5 on quarterbacks going in the first round. I am taking the under on it.
Wow.
Tyler Shuck is a name you should watch, though, which I reported about 2 weeks ago, and it's been a while since I put something out where people started to text me right away around the league, and that was one of them, of like, oh, you know, who told you that? How do you know? Like, he was a little bit of a secret, I think. Teams know about him. He's 26. He had two significant injuries, but he did. People in Louisville just speak the world of his intelligence, and he appears to be the most NFL-ready quarterback of all these guys. I had one head coach, AP, who had him ranked over Cam Ward, ranked higher.
Wow.
And this isn't some random head coach that just got the job. He's been in the league for a long time, and he knows, and he's offensive-minded, right? So it's like, he's like, I'm telling you, this kid can play. So
what was his injury, Diana?
Back. Twice.
Back twice, and they got him ranked that high. They're not concerned about that?
So I asked that. No, which is no, it's brought up. Let's not get crazy, right? Like, it's definitely part of his story. But I guess in his workouts, they felt good about where he's at. And obviously, they run their medicals on him. They bring, you know, they all brought him in, the ones that were interested. The Giants went out there to watch him work out, specifically as in, like, a few days ago, right? I mean, right before Easter, they went out there. So we'll see where he goes. But that could be one of those, when I say surprise, I know we're talking about it now, but that could be one of those, I think the rest of the world will be like, who's Tyler Shuck? But it could happen.
Absolutely. All right, so a lot of quarterback questions. Washington's sitting there at 29. There will undoubtedly be good players available for them at 29. Do you think Washington ends up taking somebody at 29 or trading back?
They're trying to trade back, I can tell you that. Just because I know teams in the second round who have been calling. And here's the thing. I had a general manager tell me this morning, which it's good to just keep in mind as you guys continue to bring people on to talk about it. It's going to start heating up probably like after 2 o'clock today in terms of those calls of like movement. Everyone's addressing the first round right now, or at least the top of it. But Washington was a team that had some calls with teams about wanting to get out. But when you talk about position, let's say they stick because they can't. I mean, I think it's defense here. A corner makes a lot of sense, right? I think they need more on defense than offense for sure. Secondary to edge, which just is the most obvious thing to me. It makes the most sense for where they would go. But again, with the limited amount of picks because of all the veteran moves they made, which I what do we grade those moves, by the way? I was thinking about that before I called in. I'm like, I'd give a B minus.
I love the Debo trade. I think they gave up very little. And honestly, by guaranteeing the money makes it easier to get off that next year if it goes sideways. I like the Tunsil. They're really high on it. They had just drafted a kid that played fairly well for most of the season at left tackle, but obviously they think Tunsil's
a huge
upgrade.
The thing was good, and even just from, I remember when we were breaking that story, trying to figure out what does Houston know that we don't, right? Like, I always get those feelings when I see players, like even when A.J. Brown was traded to Philly. To Philly. I was like, why? What happened? And sometimes it just turns out that teams are just trying to get ahead. In some way, sometimes it works, right? It did not work for Tennessee. I think it was Treylon Burks.
Yeah,
they drafted in that year, and that flamed out. You take those risks, and look, Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl. So sorry, I didn't mean to rub that in the face, Commander fans. I didn't mean it that way. Love you guys. So no, I think in terms of where the position they're in and the moves they've made, I know for a fact from talking to people in Washington, they're comfortable with where they're sitting at. I know they want more picks, so trading back makes sense.
We'll see if they get them.
See what happens.
We're going to let you go. I know how busy you are. Thank you for the time. We'll be following on social and reading all your stuff.
Have a fun day.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Thanks, guys. This was fun. I enjoy talking. I've been doing radio all morning and... You guys are just a pleasure. That's all. I wish I could have a cold beer with you right now, actually. It's not even 1 o'clock, and I'm talking about having a cocktail. I apologize.
Hey, 5 cool o'clock somewhere.
That's right. I think it's going to be a busy night. You're going to be all over it. We'll be watching. Thank you for making time. I know you're slammed.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, Diana. Take care.
Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Give her a follow at DM Rossini. Let's go over some of that stuff, the quarterback stuff particularly. Nobody go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Be Mitchell Finley. 106.7 The Fan. Just talked to Diana Rossini from The Athletic. If you missed any of that interview, get on the podcast or the Odyssey app, however you get it. You want to listen to it. Trust me, man. Really interesting stuff going on with the quarterbacks in this draft. And not that Washington's in the quarterback market, but by holding a pick late, they could become a factor in the quarterback market. And I think it's kind of interesting to watch unfold because the more interest there is in the kid Shuck from Louisville – or Dart, or Sanders, or Jalen Milrow. Oddly, Milrow is very off the radar in all our conversations so far, but he's going to be there, and he's incredibly, what do you like to call the combine, the underwear Olympics?
Yep.
I mean, I don't even know that I'm not sure how much he did at the combine, but.
I read a story this morning, the Steelers like him.
Right.
We'll see. I just, like, when I hear all this stuff now about the quarterbacks, the mere fact that there's not very quarterback oriented this year, I still believe some people going to reach for a quarterback.
Well, dude, that's one of the things I wonder. Like, it's easy to think there is – if I set the amount of quarterbacks taken in the first round tonight at 1.5, which way are you going?
1.5?
Yeah.
I'll take the over.
What about 2.5? I think I am too. What was the Kenny Pickett draft? Was that 2022? Where Pickett was the first quarterback taken, I think at 20 by the Steelers. And there was a lot of questions, you know, about that draft class. And it ended up being really pretty bad for quarterbacks. The one thing I don't like for Shador is Tom Pelissero is a good reporter and does this big in-depth piece every year where he talks to a ton of people from all over the league about all of the quarterback prospects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, there's no doubt that Cam Ward's the top. He gets a lot of people to talk about Shedeur Sanders, AFC coordinators, NFC coordinators. Now, it is done anonymously,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it is positive. I mean, say he has like 6 or 7 quotes in here, but a lot of it is positive. But the one negative one goes crazy. And a lot of what these guys said, I think you've seen this with other quarterback prospects that are coached by their dad.
Mm-hmm.
The kid Brom, remember the kid Brom from Louisville? Was a big-time quarterback prospect. His dad was the coach. And when he got to the pros and things went wrong, like, he never thought to blame himself,
mm-hmm.
because the theory was that when he was at Louisville, his dad never said it was his fault. Like, if something went wrong, I do think there's some of the stuff that Shedeur doesn't do well, taking sacks specifically, that you wonder if the O-line always took the blame. It's not always the O-line's fault, right?
Yeah.
But I think there are questions about coming from a system where you've only played for your dad. But I just think there's one quote that I hate. This dude just torches him anonymously. And you know, you're like, I think if you're given anonymous quotes, you can be negative. But to be this negative, listen to this. The worst formal interview I've ever been in my life. He's so entitled. He takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He has horrible body language. He blames teammates. But the biggest thing, he's not that good. I think if you're doing an anonymous quote, it's a little much to say, like, how long did you interact with somebody to call him entitled? I don't know.
Listen, man. Anonymous quote, and you get to hide behind anonymous. If you truly feel that, don't make it anonymous. And then again, as I stated yesterday, that one negative thing gets all the run, not the positive stuff. We had a guy who was on the show. Last week before you left, he said he thought Shedeur was one of the best in the draft.
Thor, yeah. Nystrom.
So, and when you hear
a lot of folks do,
when you hear those things, it makes me wonder, because let's be real, when something is positive, people don't normally keep passing it on. When something is negative, they keep passing it on. So I'm not going to take that one negative thing over all the positive. That's why I believe still he may get drafted first round.
Yeah, I just think the more these guys slip, the better off it'll be.
Mm-hmm.
You want there to be some sort of competition, some player, and typically teams would move up for a quarterback so they have more runway on the contract options. Our guy Josh Norris from Underdog just put out his final mock draft, and I believe he only has the one quarterback going in Ward,
mm-hmm.
which will be crazy, and which will make the first couple picks of Friday night really exciting. Norris has the Commanders taking Jihad Campbell, or maybe I've read that I think it's they want it pronounced Jihad instead of Jihad, which has a different connotation, certainly. Campbell's a linebacker out of Bama, so Greg would be happy. He gets his Tide player in Washington. What do you think, B, of the conversation that first-round picks need to be tied to basically more expensive positions? That you want to go quarterback, corner, edge rusher, receiver, rather than running back, linebacker, because of eventually the cost?
But what if the running back and the linebacker are the absolute best, and they could get into the league and be the best at that position to help your team out? You know, I that whole mindset of, I'm going to tell you who deserves money. I'm going to tell you who, instead of letting people play and be good or not be good. But just because you go after what you think is a quarterback or wide receiver, it's a more expensive position, but it's also a position where you have a bigger bust. So you go draft that linebacker, I mean that receiver, that quarterback, that cornerback, and they suck. You're stuck. But what if that guy is the, oh, he's more expensive, but he's a fifth-ranked cornerback. But this guy over here is a top-rated linebacker. Oh, I can't take him in the first round. It makes no sense to me.
I mean, I believe the Detroit Lions in the last couple drafts have taken a linebacker and a running back. Don't quote me on that, but I know they took Jahmyr Gibbs. And what's the linebacker they took? I think it was Jack Campbell, the kid from Iowa, right?
Yeah. Sorry, right?
He's off ball, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
But both of those guys were exceptional, right?
Right.
And a lot of people wish they had him on their team.
I also think you can't look at, if you hold a top five pick, then yeah, the value starts to matter, right? If you have a top five pick, I mean, hell, there's a decent example of it in recent Washington history. It was Sheriff fifth or sixth. It took Sheriff fifth or sixth. I think he was fifth. They wanted him to play tackle. He couldn't. He ends up going to guard, and he was an all-pro guard. Is that a waste of a pick because it's not a value position?
But
I also just think,
what if he's
at 29 is very different than top five, top 10.
Yeah, I just think, man, if I have a Saquon prospect, a Ray Lewis prospect coming up, and they got the top 10 pick, and they're in my lap, and I need that position, I'm picking them. See, the problem with the NFL tries to, and the NFL with the reporters around it, the NFL wants to be very much equal. But if I were a guy running an NFL team, I'm not doing what everybody else does. I'm doing what's going to work for my team. Everybody want to pass the ball, and I got an exceptional running back, I'm picking him. So everybody else going to be doing the same stuff. I'm going to make you have to work on something else. And what happens is we watch the league now. Everybody tries to do the same thing. But everybody don't have a Pat Mahomes. Everybody don't have an Eagles offensive line. So you can't do the exact same thing. So if you happen to be able to have something a little different or better, go with that and move forward. Don't try to become something that you're not.
I've been saying this. I've been using the Maryland coach as my example. Maryland didn't need to hire a Maryland person to be their basketball coach. They needed to hire the best basketball coach they could get. When there was an opening in the tight end room, a lot of Skins fans would tweet me, oh, they should hire Chris Cooley to be the tight ends coach. That'd be great, but they should just hire the best tight ends coach they could get, whether or not he played here.
Yeah, but the whole thing about it.
Draft the best player you could get, especially at
29. Because a guy was a very good player for you don't mean he's going to be a great coach for you.
Right, and because a guy's an edge rusher doesn't mean you have to take him over somebody you have eight spots higher on your draft board, even if they're a running back or a linebacker.
There you go, totally.
Nobody go anywhere. Because we got to sell some cars. You got to check out our friends over at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. As a matter of fact, in the last 5 minutes, Greg texted us that he just picked up a new Toyota Tacoma from Orsman Fairfax Toyota, courtesy of our friend Jaime. Jaime also texted me about Kenny Pickett because he's a football-obsessed freak. But there's a reason we are so tight with these people. I bought, I think, four cars now from Orsman Fairfax Toyota. B is always over at Orsman Chantilly Kia finding some new car. They've taken great care of us. They've taken great care of our family. That's the reason you keep going back. There's a reason they've been in business for over 100 years because they take great care of you. They've got all the makes, models, whatever it is you're looking for, an unmatched selection. Orsman Automotive of Virginia, 7 locations all over Northern Virginia. They've got the best deals and financing in town. And B, tell them about that Lifetime Edge.
Well, I'm going to tell you about the Lifetime Edge, but I also tell you this, that Orsman, be happy that JP and I talk about you, not Greg. Greg spelled it O-S-M-A-N, Osman. All right? And Greg talked about the Lifetime treatment because he goes back and get extra cars. He bought another car for his person because they took care of him. They give him a Lifetime Edge with up to $1,500 in extras. They give him a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance and loan of cars with every major maintenance. And if you have a car to sell, make sure you take it to Orsman because they'll give you 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, no matter if it's make, model, or the year. It's simple. They keep their customers happy, just like Greg, who can't spell. He constantly goes back and get cars from Orsman. They take it from JP and I to beyond satisfied Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
A little Mariah time.
Sweet, sweet fantasy, baby.
That's why White Brian's wearing his pink pants. A little Mariah time. All right, B. Let's get down to it. I'm curious your thought. What do you think happens with Shador?
I think he goes in the first round.
Pittsburgh?
Very possible. The thing of it is this. I listen to a lot of stuff that Mike Tomlin talks about. And I've also talked to a lot of coaches over my years of playing in the league and whatever. A lot of coaches hide behind their lack of knowing how to relate to people. A lot of coaches hide behind their lack of knowing how to communicate properly with guys that have a different background than them. Shador, if people think he's a little arrogant, a little cocky, what else do you expect when he's Deion Sanders' son? And that still, if you know how to talk with him, instead of expecting him to be like every damn body else you meet, you can still get the best out of him. Then there are coaches also who don't like to live up to what a coach is. A coach is a guy who helps bring out the best in a player, right? For sure. Just to automatically assume, well, he thinks this, so I can't coach him. That's a cop-out to me. And there are a lot of cop-outs in this league that have developed some good stuff. But it's not because they talk to the player. It's because the player overcomes their stupidity. But I still think he'll go first.
First round. Yeah,
not first pick. A first round.
If you want to hang out with some fellow draft nerds, tonight is the night. I'm a draft nerd. I love this stuff. There's going to be a 106.7 The Fan watch party for the NFL draft at 8 o'clock at Tapped at MGM National Harbor. Grant and Danny are going to be there. Are they doing their show there, or are they going there after their show? We'll find those details out. But the watch party tonight at Tapped at MGM National Harbor.
Probably should go after the show, because that'll be a long day to be there.
Be tough for you and I.
They in at what time?
6:30.
And the draft is at 8?
Yeah. Here's my thing with Shador that I find hard to believe. I don't know if you've seen it. I want to ask Charles Davis about this. He's going to join us in just about 10 minutes from NFL Network. I think there's this sense that a lot of people blame it on NIL, whether it is NIL or not. Jay Glazer is a really interesting character in the NFL insider wars, right? Mm-hmm. Because Schefter and Rapp are always fighting about every nugget of information. Mm-hmm. Glazer plays a different game. Like, he's friends with all these guys. They all work out together and mm-hmm. you know, fist fight and wrestle each other. But Glazer's incredibly wired in. Like, the amount of times I've seen Glazer, like, having dinner with head coaches, owners, whoever. He's Glazer and who's my man with the frosted tips? That's the chef. Guy Fieri. Glazer and Guy Fieri at owners meetings were together the entire time, and random NFL owners were just going over to them the whole time. Mm-hmm. Guy Fieri ended up being really, really cool and quite funny. Anyhow, Glazer tweeted this out yesterday, B. Interesting thing that came up in my draft prep calls. For years, teams have pulled players off the board for A, injury concerns, or B, character concerns. A third category has been added, and most teams I talked to had guys off their board for doesn't love football. This was the first year it was so prevalent. I asked around why that is, and the thought was because of NIL money. Guys have already been paid, and some feel they don't need to grind to get paid. So the guys who love football are probably appreciated more. Just an interesting tidbit. Glazer doesn't make this stuff up. That's a real thing, mm-hmm. right? If you got a kid that's made $6 million over the last 2 years, he might not want to come in and fight with a veteran that's been in the NFL for 8 years, knows exactly what it takes, and is hard to beat out for a job or a roster spot. Like, mm-hmm. Cash changes things. One of the biggest things I always said pre-draft was, if there was a question about work ethic for a college kid and he hadn't been paid yet, how do you think that's going to go once he is paid? Mm-hmm. It's a real question. Now it's even more different than that. But I bring all that up, B. One of the questions I don't have for Shador Sanders mm-hmm. is loving football. Like, one of the things I loved about Jaden significantly was all the talk about the work ethic and how much time he put in the film room and just the grind of the guy. Because you need that at quarterback. Shador's been grinding tape since he was 8 years old.
He's had money his whole life.
And I don't even mean it that way. I'm just saying.
He still goes out there and works and presents himself. Listen, man, you can make anything up. You can make anything a problem you want it to be. I don't think you question that kid's desire and love for football. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's played quarterback. He didn't play defensive back because his dad played it.
Right.
You know? His dad didn't try to make him play it.
I don't know what's going to happen with Shador. I don't question that he loves football, though. Yeah. And if you got to question that for a lot of these dudes, what a world.
I still believe guys that have made $6 million over the last 2 years, you're not going back to college.
They might want to make more.
You're not at the pro. Most guys that get a taste of what money is, they normally want more. They don't just quit.
When we come back, Charles Davis from NFL Network joins the program.